Today she's Masech the Brachas Daf Mem Dalad. We will get on Daf Mem Dalad on Aleph on the top of the Amid at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah Vilafana Miliach Tchila. If somebody brought a salted food to be eaten on Pas Imai, and bread was brought with that salted food, says the Mishnah Mevarcha Miliach. You make a bracha on the salted food, which is the Iker. Will pass point as a pass, and you need not make a bracha on the bread. Shapas tfeil aloi, because the bread is considered secondary, and zeh klal, and we have a rule. The kol shu ikar, whenever we have an ikar of imoy tfeilo, a primary food and a secondary food, the loch is mevarch, now ikar, or poiter as a tfeila. You make the bracha on the primary food, and not on the secondary food. So many Rishonim, the Tosfos Yontif and other Rishonim say that our Mishnah is in very deliberate order. Our Mishnah spoke about where the Meliach, the primary food, was brought before the secondary food. And that's when the halacha is you make the bracha on the Iker and it exempts the Tefela from a bracha. But what would be the halacha if you brought the Tefela before the Iker? So there the Mishnah Berurah says that, and the Tosfos Yontif says that's what our Mishnah is coming to teach us, that maybe you make a bracha on the Tefel first. However, there are those that say it doesn't make a difference what comes first or what comes second. They make the bracha on the Iker and you don't make the bracha on the Tefel. Furthermore, this what is the Mishnah coming to teach us with the words klal, zeh klal? Though we see very clearly that when there's an ikar and a tuffel, you make the bracha on the ikar and not on the tuffel. What does the Mishnah have to summarize by saying zeh klal again? So, tells us the Ritva that the purpose is to teach us that this halacha is not only for bracha rishayna, but this is halacha even for bracha achroina. That the bracha achroina also you only make on the ikar and not on the tefel. However, most poskim are of the opinion that even though you only make a bracha on the ikar, not on the tefel, that doesn't have to do with the chiyuv of washing your hands. We know before we eat bread, we have to wash the netilas yadayim. So even if we're eating the bread as a tuffel, as is the case of our Mishnah, still the halacha will be that you have to make a bracha on the, you still have to make a bracha, you still have to wash the tilas yadayim. So here we've just discussed the halacha of ikar v'tuffel. An ikar v'tuffel, which is a very important halacha when we speak about hilchos brachos, is also a very complicated halacha. We just discussed what is the halacha if you made a bracha on the, if the tefel came before the ikar. It's also very hard to identify what is the ikar and what is the tefel. Yes, let's say you're eating something on a cracker. Does that mean that you only want to eat the fish or the cheese that's on your cracker and you have no interest in eating the cracker at all? Because it's very clear in the Poskim that as soon as you have an independent interest in eating the tuffel, not just that it should serve as a secondary to the ikar, then you have to make a separate bracha on the tuffel. Also, there's a question that if you eat the tuffel before the ikar, some places it seems that halacha tells you to make a shahakal, some places it says to make no bracha, some places it says to make its own bracha. And therefore, perhaps the best thing to do is to eat the tuffel before the ikar with the goal of really wanting to eat the tuffel and make the bracha that you're supposed to make on the tuffel. And like that, you avoid many questions. Tosfos, the very maskil, ba'ochli, says that the bracha on the ikar does not exempt the tuffel unless the tefil was in the person's presence when he recited the bracha on the ikar. However, if somebody made a bracha, let's say, on fish, without intending to eat bread or crackers at that time, and then afterwards he decided to eat some bread to absorb the salt, since that wasn't his original intention to have that as a tefil, says Tosfos, you have to make the bracha on the tefil. And the Chazon Ish explains there are two reasons why a tefil doesn't require a separate bracha. One is because this tefil is ancillary to the principal food, and therefore it's considered insignificant. And because it's insignificant, it doesn't have its own bracha. Or the halacha is that the bracha on the ikar takes care of the tefil. So the Chazon Ish wants to bring a raya from Tosfos to the second approach. Because according to the first approach, that there's no chiyuv bracha on the tefil, so it shouldn't make a difference if you intended to eat the tefil or you didn't intend to eat the tefil. The tefil doesn't have a chiyuv bracha. But according to Tosfos' second approach, according to the second approach of the Chazon Ish, Tosfos is very understandable. Because the tefil is actually always subject to a bracha. Everything is subject to a bracha. Just the bracha on the ikar covers the tefil as well. But that's only when the tefil was there and when it was your intention to eat the tefil. But if it isn't there or wasn't your intention, then you have to still make a new bracha on the tefil. And not only does the Shulchan Aruch Rav agree with Tosfos that if the tefil wasn't there, or was not your intention to eat the tefil, that you have to make a separate bracha on the tefil. But when we learned the Mishnah, we said that this halacha of ikar and tefil is not only regarding the bracha rishona, it's also regarding the bracha achrona. Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav that whenever you're going to have to make a bracha rishona, you're also going to have to make a bracha achrona. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita, in the Sefer Cheshukei Chemet, discusses what is the halacha if somebody eats a falafel and it's filled with different vegetables and different foods. What's the halacha, what bracha is made? So he says, it seems that the main food here is the pita. You should make a bracha, presumably a bari hamotzi lechem and aretz, or a mezonos, and everything else that's in the falafel, you won't have to make a separate bracha. And he says it doesn't make a difference if the filling is actually in the falafel pita, or if the filling is in the, it's on a plate, the different vegetables, and you're eating the falafel. But that's only if your main kavan is to eat the pita. But let's say, maybe you're really interested in eating what's inside the pita, but you don't want to get your fingers dirty. So there you're eating the pita just to be able to get to the different food items that are inside the pita. That makes it into a much more complicated question. And he says, under those circumstances, he suggests that under those circumstances, you should make a separate bracha on each food separately. But the question is, if you're going to make a bracha on the pita, it's a hamotzi. So there maybe you should eat the other foods before you make the bracha on the pita, because you make the bracha on the pita, once you make hamotzi, you have a problem. Can you make a bracha on the other foods? There's one more issue to discuss. We're discussing here the halachas of ikar and tefil. The question is, when we speak about the halachas of ikar and tefil, do the halachas of ikar and tefil also apply to birchas hamitzvahs? I saw from Shechta Shlita, he has a discussion. Maybe the halacha of ikar and tefil only applies to birchas hanenin, given the explanations that we just gave from the Chazon Ish, that the bracha and it really connects to the shaila the Chazon Ish said. Is it pshat that the bracha on the ikar covers the tefil? Or is pshat that there is no chiyuv bracha on the tefil at all? Or it could be a third way of learning it. that Chazal did not require a bracha on the tofel. Where does this come up? When we eat by the Seder, the maror, which we dip into the charoisis. The question is, we make a bracha on the maror. We don't make the bracha on the charoisis. So the bracha is hanenen, which anyway we're not making a hadoma on the maror, because we already made a hadoma on the karpas. So there we could say that the charoisis is certainly a tofel. But there's a mitzvah to eat maror, and there's a mitzvah to eat charoisis. Yet we don't make a bracha on the charoisis, because it's a tofel. So it seems that the easiest way to understand it is that Chazal never required a bracha to be recited on a tofel, whether it's a birchas hanenen, or whether it's a birchas hamitzvahs. And that's why we don't make a bracha on the, charoisis, even though there's certainly a mitzvah to eat the charoisis, just like there's a mitzvah to eat the maror. Says the Gemara. Umikamidi, ask the Gemara. Umikamidi to have a melech ikur past fela. How can we ever call pass, ask the Gemara, a tuffle, where after learning this mesechta, we've learned that how critical pass is in our diet. We make a special bracha. We started this perek on pass, hamotzi lechem and aretz, to recognize that. Answers the Gemara. Amar of Achabrei de Ravira, Amar of Ashi. Here we're speaking about Oilei Peiris Genoiser Shanu. We're speaking about people who eat the very sweet fruit of Genoiser, which were exceptionally sweet. It says the Gemara, Omer Rabba Babachana, Ki Hava Azlina Basrei de Rabbi Yochanan, Lamechel Peiris Genoiser. When we used to follow Rabbi Yochanan to eat Peiris Genoiser, Ki Hava Bei Meya, if we were 100 people accompanying Rabbi Yochanan, each one of us would carry 10 fruit, a total of 1,000 fruits. The kavira bei asara, and if we were 10 people, each one of us would carry 100 fruit, again, get to the 1,000 fruit. The kamei minayu, and the fruits were so large, kamei minayu, that every 100 of them, it would take a basket of 3 saw to carry all of these fruit, which is a huge amount. And we would eat them, and then we would swear as if we had not eaten. Ask the Gemara, can we assume that he didn't eat any food? He ate so many fruits. We did not feel that we ate sustenance. That means we weren't satiated. So what does this mean to our Gemara? So the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina explained that the Meliach of our Mishnah are the Peiris Genoiser. And the Peiris Genoiser were eaten, and the Peiris Genoiser were eaten with a lot of salt. And because they had the salt to take away the sweetness of the fruit, they also ate bread afterwards. So since they ate bread afterwards, they were only eating it because of the salt. And therefore, they did not have to make a bracha on the bread. There's an interesting question that Rabbi Kiv Eger and his son-in-law, the Chassam Soifer, discuss. If somebody makes a bracha on a coffee, and let's say it was a situation that we discussed previously in our shir, where somebody drank wine, and we learned in this perek that if you make a bari priya gofer on wine, you don't have to make a bracha on any beverage you're going to drink. So somebody made a bari priya gofer on wine, he's not going to have to make a shahakal on the coffee, but he's also going to drink with his coffee sugar. Not that he's putting sugar into the coffee, but he has cubed sugar. Does he make a bracha on the sugar? Certainly, if somebody's drinking a coffee, he does have to make a separate bracha on the sugar. But here, he wasn't making a bracha on the coffee. He made a bracha on the wine. So the Paisk, so the Chasam Sofer wants to bring a raya from our Gemara. Here, the salt was the tuffle to the fruit. The bread was a tuffle to the salt that came with the fruit. And still we see that they didn't have to make a bracha on the bread, even though it was the second tuffle. Similarly, you don't have to make a separate bracha on the sugar that you're using with your coffee that's coming with the wine. Says the Gemara, Rav Avuah Ochel had to have a sarak lay durbim upose. He ate so much of the fruit of Gnoiser until a fly would slip off his forehead. Ravami Ravasi have achli adenos mazayu. They ate so much of these fruits until their hair fell out. Rav Shimon Lokesh have achol ademorid. He ate so much of the fruit, he had such a high sugar intake until he became delirious. Vamal Rav Yochanan de Ben Nasiya. Rav Yochanan would let the Ben Nasiya know. He would send people after him, and carrying him home. Yanei HaMelech had one city in Har HaMelech. They would carry out of it 600,000 bowls of sliced tuna to feed the fig pickers. Merev Shabbos. They used to feed them when they were out in the field all week. They needed this extraordinary amount of food to feed them every week. Kiyosu Ravan Amar, Il Echad Hayu L'Yanei HaMelech B'Har HaMelech. Yanei HaMelech had one tree in Har HaMelech. Sharidim Imenu Aboim Saw Gzoilus. They would bring down from it 40 saw of young pigeons. Mishalach Brechois B'Chodesh. Three times a month, they would remove 40 saw of newly hatched pigeons from the tree. There was one city in Eretz Yisrael, the Gufnes Shma. The name of that city was Gufnes. Shoybam Shmoinim Zugus Achim Kahanim, in which there were 80 pairs of brothers who were Kahanim. Nesuim L'Shmoinim Zugus Achis Kahanis, to 80 pairs of sisters who were Kahanis, the daughters of Kahanim. And here again, the Noid of Yehuda brings a raya that we don't need to be makbid on the Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, because here we see that brothers married sisters. And in the Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, it says that two brothers shouldn't marry two sisters. So he says, the Noid of Yehuda, from here we see that it was only that the Noid of Yehuda wrote his, that the Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid wrote his Tzavos only for his descendants, not for anywhere else. Another pshat is that in those days, there was a higher level of Kedusha and Tahara in the world. Since there was a higher level of Kedusha and Tahara in the world, we didn't have to maybe be makbid on it. Today, maybe we do have to be makbid on it. The Rabbanim looked from Surah to Nadah, and they never found such a similar case where so many brothers married so many sisters. Except the daughters of Rechizda, that have in the Sivan that they were married to Rami Bachoma or Maruk Bachoma, two sisters married two brothers. The sisters were Kahanis. Rav Chizda was a Kayan, but Inu, Rami Bachoma and Uk Bachoma were not Kahanim. Says the Gemara, I'm a Rav. Kal Suda Shein Vemelech. Any meal that's missing salt is Ena Suda. You have to have salt in every meal. Amar Rav Chibar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Suda Shein by Srif. Any meal without soup, Ein Suda is not a meal. So of course, the question that we need to think about when we learn this Gemara is our Gemara here coming to teach us how these great Amoraim, Tanoim and Amoraim, ate these huge amount of food. So, some Sfarim explain that there was so much Kedusha in these foods, and because there was so much Kedusha in these foods, that's why they ate these exorbitant amount of foods to absorb that Kedusha. But I did see a very interesting tshuva in the Shalos HaTshuvos, Torah Lishma, in Simen Tav Yud Ches. The question that was posed there was that somebody moved from Chutz La'aretz to Yisrael, to the city of Tzfas, and a couple of hours travel away from the city of Tzfas, there was a city, he doesn't identify the name of the city, which has the most delicious, beautiful peiros, fruits that grow there. And the question that this person asked the Shas HaTshuvos Lishma, should he take the time to travel to eat from those fruits? The question is, he's losing a lot of time in traveling. And also, he's just going to eat delicious fruit. Is that why he moved from Eretz Yisrael? So he says, part of Chavivus of Eretz Yisrael is to see the beauty in Eretz Yisrael and to enjoy the delicious fruits it produces. And he brings a raya from our Gemara, where we find these Tanoim and Meroim ate this huge amount of delicious fruits of Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, the Yavit says, the Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Gemara says in Masechta Soita, Daf Yudal Raman Aleph, the Moshe Rabbeinu, ki lechem ipurya ulam zboi metuva yitzarech, Moshe Rabbeinu did not have to enter Eretz Yisrael to eat from its delicious fruits. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was already on a very high madrega. But the rest of us who are not on that high madrega certainly should enjoy eating from the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. There's kedusha in them, and it also shows the tremendous chavivus love that we have to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Mishnah, Ocho, if somebody ate anovim grapes, ta'inim figs, remaining pomegranates, mevarach aleihem shalosh brachos, he has to say birchas hamazon. Divrei Gamliel, whose opinion will be explained in the Gemara. The chamaimrim, the right bracha is bracha achas mein shalosh. Rekiva oimer, afilo achol shalak, even if you ate cooked vegetables, v'hum mezaynei, and that's your dinner, that's your meal, mevarach aleihem shalosh brachos, you say regular birchas hamazon. Says the Mishnah, shoysim mayim l'tzmoim. If somebody drinks water because he is thirsty, mevarach aleihem shakal niyadvari, you make a shahakal. Rav Tarfon oimer, the brach is bar nefash v'chesroinen. Most Rishonim say the Rav Tarfon is referring to the bracha Rishonim. Says the Gemara, my Tamad Rav Gamliel. What does Rav Gamliel say that you make a birchas hamazon on the shivas haminim? Answers the Gemara, the Ksiv, because the Torah identifies the shivas haminim, eretz, chita, usaira, we get from the same in Riemann, Eretz, Zayi, Shem, and Dvash. The Torah speaks about the Zayim Minim. And then the Torah says, Eretz, Ashalabi Meskenes, Teichab Alechem. It's a country where there's no poverty involved in eating your food. V'ksiv, and then the next Pasuk says, V'chalta V'rachtas Hashem Malakecho. So from here we see that you are supposed to say Birch Samazin on the Shivas Haminim. Rabbanan, how did Rabbanan defend themselves? The Rabbanan say, Eretz Hefsek Inyan. If there was no Pasuk in between, then it would be correct. But the Pasuk first starts with the Zayin Minim. Then the next Pasuk is, Eretz Hashloi Meskenes Teichab Alechem, Lechsech Zekoboy, Eretz Hashavinei Basel, Umeharei Tachts of Nechoshes. And then the next Pasuk only is, V'chalt V'savat V'rachtos Hashem Alekecha. So since the din of Birch Samozin does not immediately follow the Shivas Haminim, there's no chiyuv of birchas hamazon on the shivas haminim. Ask the Gemara. The Rabbanon is saying something that's most sensible. Rabbanon, Rav Gamliel, nami. How does Rav Gamliel defend himself? Eretz hefsek hinyan. Doesn't that pasuk interrupt? So how does Rav Gamliel say that we say birchas hamazon on the shivas haminim? Answers the Gemara. Ahumi Baile, he uses that pasuk to teach us. If somebody chews wheat grain, even though he's eating grain, there's no chiv to make birchas hamazon, because that's not the way you normally eat. But it's not coming to interrupt. Omar Rav Yaakov bar Idi, Omar Rav Chanina. Kol shemechamesh esaminim. If you're eating any food that has in it the five species of grain, betchilam avarach labayim minim azoynus. The bracha rishon is bari minim azoynus. Upsoif, the bracha achroina is bracha achs mein sholish, ala michya. And if you're eating any of the fruits of the any of the shivas aminim, if it's a fruit, ask the Gemara. What is exactly the nusach of the brachas of shalosh? Says the Gemara, priya eitz. On priya eitz, you say al eitz or priya eitz. Furi. That's the bracha that said when you eat one of the peiros of the shevas haminim, the chameishas haminim. If you're eating a mezoinus, what's the nusach? Al mechya v'al kalkala v'al tenuvas asada v'chaysim al aretz v'al mechya. Says mechta v'may chosim. Ask the Gemara, what is the right way to end it? Says the Gemara, what's the question? In other words, the question is that even though it's inappropriate to finish a bracha with two subjects, but we see that when he davened Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, he did speak about two subjects. He said, Mekadosh Yisrael v'Rosh Chodeshim. And therefore the question is, Chochamai, when we finish the bracha main Sholosh, do we say two different subjects, al oretz v'al peiros? Can we say two different subjects? Says the Gemara. Rav Chizda Hachamai. Says the Gemara. Rav Chizda Omar al oretz v'al peiros. Peiros seho. We say al oretz v'al peiros seho. Rav Yochanan Omar. Rav Yochanan says we say al oretz v'al peiros. Amar of Amram Reloi Pligi. Hold on. The people in Bavo say Ala Oretz Vala Peris. Vahala Hu and the people at Israel say Ala Oretz Vala Peris. And the people in at Israel say Ala Oretz Vala Peris. Ask the Gemara, doesn't make any sense. Maslav of Nachman Yitzchok. Inu Achli, they're eating the Peris of at Israel. And they don't say Al Aretz V'al Peirosah. And we in Chutz La'aretz say Al Aretz V'al Peirosah, Aleipach. Rav Chizda in Chutz La'aretz says Al Aretz V'al Peiros. Rav Chizda, who was in Bavel, said Al Aretz V'al Peiros. Rav Yochanan, who was in Eretz Yisrael, said Al Aretz V'al Peirosah. Also, in the Nusach of the Al Mechya, we say V'nerecha Alecha B'Kedusha U'B'Tahara. So the question is, why do we say Bekedusha Velatara? So I saw from the Sefer Binyan Shalom, the Gemara Masechta Soita says, Miyoyim Shachar Beis HaMikdash, from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nittel Tam Peiros. The Tam Peiros was taken away. And Rashi explains that since Klal Yisrael are not on the proper level of Tahara, that affected the quality of the Peiros. When people are tar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is metahar the peiros, that they should be perfect. So now we see that in the fruit that we eat, there's a level of tahara. So when we say, Uvnei Yerushalayim Ira Kodesh, when the Yerushalayim will be rebuilt, and then we're going to eat the fruits with the proper kedusha of tahara, because the fruits will be better, it'll be a recognition that we are better, because the two very, very much travel together. Question is, somebody is in Eretz Yisrael, so does he say Al Aretz Val Peiros or Al Aretz Val Peiros Seho? So, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're eating peiros from Chutz La'aretz, says the stipler, that even though you're eating fruits that are not from Eretz Yisrael, says the stipler, in Eretz Yisrael you should always say, Al Oretz V'Perisseho, even if the actual fruit you're eating is not produce of Eretz Yisrael. Amar Yitzhak B'Avdimi, Mishum Rabbeinu, Alabeya, on eggs, V'Amine Kufra, and on all type of meat, B'Tchil Mevarach Shehakol, Brach Rishon is a Shehakol, U'Psoif, Baron Fashas Rabbis. The Brach Rishon is Baron Fashas Rabbis. Av Yarko, when you eat vegetables, Loi, you do not make a Brach Achroino. As the Pnei Yeshu explains, we learned at the beginning of this perek that you always make a bracha rishona. The reason you always make a bracha rishona is because also lahenes ma'alam hazeh, one cannot have benefit from this world without making a bracha. So it makes no difference what food you're eating, you always have to make a bracha rishona. The reason we make a bracha achroina is because since when we eat bread and we're full, there's a chiv deraisa of a chalt of a savot of a rachta. So then we have anything that's similar to that. So the shivas haminim, as we discussed earlier in our shir, is certainly chashiv, and they require bracha achroina. And he says, so too meat and eggs are chashiv, and that's why you make a bracha achroina. But vegetables are not chashiv, according to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, and therefore on vegetables, there's no need to make a bracha achroina. Rav Yitzchak Amar, afil yarka, even when you eat vegetables, you make a bracha broyer nefashos. Avamaya is not significant enough to make a bracha achroina. Rav Papa Amar, afil maya, even on water, we make a broyer nefashos. Says the Gemara Mazutra, Ovik Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Mazutra acted like Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Ovik Rav Yitzchak, v'samanach, chad ketrei, v'trei kechad. Mazutra, whose only his name is mentioned, not his father, acted like Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, who's mentioned him and his father. And Rav Yitzchak, who's mentioned, and Rav Yitzchak mentioned with his father's name. And Rav Simi Ba'ashi, who's mentioned with his father's name, acted like Rav Yitzchak, who's only mentioned with his whole name. Chad, the one that's only mentioned with his name, acted like the one that is mentioned Ketrei with his father's name. Ketrei and the one that's mentioned with his father's name acted like the one who's only mentioned with his own name. Amar of Asi, Ano Zimna Dechim Mekarno, I, every time I remember, Avdina Kekula, that means I always say Bar Nefashis no matter what I ate. Ask the Gemara to learn, we learned in a Mishnah, Kol Shetam Brachal of Akrov, Tam Brachal of Akrov. Fonov. Everything requires a bracha achroina, requires a bracha rishoina. V'yesh tam bracha lefonov, but there are foods that require bracha rishoina, v'ein tam bracha leachrov, but don't require bracha achroina. So bishlam Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, lefuki yarka. Yarka doesn't require, vegetables do not require a bracha achroina. Rav Yitzchak, lefuki maya, because he says water doesn't require bracha achroina. El rapapa, that you always have to make a bracha achroina, you always have to make at least a bar in the fashas. So what does the Mishnah mean? That there are foods, there are things that require a bracha rishoina, don't require bracha achroina. Says the Gemara, lefuke mitzvahs. On a mitzvah, we make a bracha rishoina, but we do not make a bracha achroina. Ask the Gemara, ulbnei merova, according to the people from Eretz Yisrael, the basna masalka tefilayu, that after they would take off their tefillin, Mevarch, they would make a bracha. Asher krishanim and tzvayis of a tzivanim l'shul chukav. So they made a bracha even after doing a mitzvah. So back to that question, lefuki mai, what is the circumstance where you make a bracha rishayna and you don't make a bracha achroina? Answers the Gemara, lefuki rechani. Everybody agrees that you don't make a bracha achroina on something that you smell. Because since it's a very minimal hanor, and not only is a minimal hanor, it doesn't remain in you. When you eat, the food that you ate remains with you. The smell that enters your body doesn't remain with you. And therefore, it doesn't remain with you, so you don't make a bracha achroin on it. However, Tosfos points out that even though the Gemara says that in Eretz Yisrael, they did make a bracha after they took off the tefillin, the bracha Lishma Chukov, even they only made that bracha when they took off tefillin. All other mitzvahs, they didn't make a bracha when they took it off, which is really a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim said that every mitzvah, when they completed doing the mitzvah, they made a bracha. Some rishonim say that they only made a bracha by tefillin. And some rishonim, which is our minig, never made the bracha. But even though we don't make the bracha when we take off tefillin, we do say uvol tzion. And what we say at the end of the uvol tzion, shenishmachu kech ba'olam hazeh, some take off the tefillin to show that they're not making the bracha, it's not our minig, but they taking off the tefillin and they're saying shenishmachu kech, as we learned in our Gemara, that was the bracha that they recited when they take off tefillin. However, this opens up a question, because the question is that we're not supposed to take off our tefillin until after Aleinu. After we finish Aval Tzion, when we're up to that part, we say, we're not finished davening. So how can we take off the tefillin? So that's why I saw two different menhagim how to resolve that. Of course, according to our Gemara, that was only the minig of Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't the minig of Chutz La'aretz. And since it wasn't the minig of Chutz La'aretz, it's not a minig that we in Chutz La'aretz have to follow. But I did see two ways that we try to follow that minig. One is that some people take off the tefillin from their fingers, the straps from the fingers, to show that they're coming to the end of davening. That's one minig. And the Mishnah Berurah seems to say that we shouldn't take off the tefillin at that point. We're not finished davening. But perhaps what we can do, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is on Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh, we know we take off the tefillin right after we say Uvol Tzion, before we start davening Mutzif. So Rosh Chodesh, we're taking off the tefillin anyway at that point. We should start removing the tefillin at that point of Uvol Tzion to commemorate what we learned in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Amar Rebbe, Kol Shukubeya, any food that is the size of an egg, Beya Toivim Memenu. There's nothing better for the body than an egg that size. And I saw from Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Sefer Chalicha Shlomo, we know that many people have the minig that Shabbos by day, they eat eggs and onion. Where does that minig come from? So Shlomo Zalman says it comes from our Gemara. Our Gemara tells us the tremendous value, how eggs are the best food you could eat. Anything, and therefore on Shabbos, when we eat eggs, we want to make that bracha. When we want to eat the best food, we eat that. We eat eggs. Kiyasu Ravin, Omar, Tova Bey Magugolta, a lightly roasted egg is better Mishita Kaisi Sulta than 6 Kaisi of fine flour. Kiyasu Rav Dimama, Tova Bey Magugolta, a roasted egg is better Mishita Mitvisim Arba. Then 6 kaisi of fine flour. Matvisa, if the egg is fully roasted, then it's better than 4 kaisa of fine flour. Mavashelta, a boiled egg. Kol shukabeya, anything that's the size of an egg. The beya tovim menu, eggs are better than it. Levad mi bisra, except meat, which is better. Rav Kiva Omer, we learned in the Mishnah, afil ochel shelek, even if you ate a cooked vegetable, but that's your meat, that's your meal, you should say Birch Samozin. Ask the Gemara, or me comida to have a shalk mazina? Does somebody eat cooked vegetables as an entire meal? Amar Ravashi answers the Gemara, Beklach Shakruf Shani. The stalks of cabbage were very healthy, and people would eat that as their entire meal. Tanar Rabbanan, Tchol, spleen meat, is Yofel Shnaim, is good for the teeth, Vekosh L'Bnei Mayim, but not for the intestines. Creation, leek, a kashin l'shinayim, are not good for the teeth, v'yofen l'bnei ma'ayim, but they're good for the intestines. Ko yerek chai, Myrit. If you eat raw vegetables, it makes you get pale. For called cotton, anything that's eaten not fully grown when it's still small, makdin, it impedes growth. For called nefesh, anything that comes from life, meshiv is a nefesh. If you eat something that was once alive and you eat it, it revitalizes your life. The karv of nefesh, meshiv is a nefesh. If you eat the meat near where the animal's life comes from, the Gemara will explain that, gives you life. Kruv lemazon, cabbage is good for sustenance. Tardin beets are good for refuah, for healing. Oiler beis nefesh lefes ayis b'taychay. The terrible is for a home in which there are turnips. Amamar, we just said, says the Gemara, that tchol, spleen meat, is yofel shnaim, is good for the teeth, the koshle b'maymai, but not for the intestines. Maita kante, so what should you do if you want to get the good benefit for the teeth without hurting your intestines? Nelase, chew the spleen meat, and then nishtayi, spit it out. Creation, koshle shnaim, but not good for the teeth, the yofel b'maymai, but they're good for the intestines. Maita kante, so how could you eat such leek? Lishalkinu, cook it until they become very soft, and swallow them without chewing them, that should adversely affect your teeth. Kol yerek chai morek, a raw vegetable makes you pale. Amar Yitzchak, when is that the case? Besuda rishayna, the first meal you eat, acha akaza, after you had bloodletting. V'amar Rav Yitzchak, kol ha'elcha yerek koydim arbishos, if somebody eats vegetables before the first 4 hours of the day, Oslo Sapi Menu, you should not speak to him. My Tama, what's the reason? Mishum Reicha. The odor that comes out of that person is very detrimental to other people. Vamar Yitzchak, Oslo Adam Shiachal Yeru Chai, Kodim Erev Shabbos, Kodim Arab Shas. You shouldn't eat raw vegetables before the first 4 hours of the day. Says the Gemara, Meimim Azutra Ravashi Chavayasvi, Aiskamayu Yerik Chai, Kodim Arbishos. They brought to him raw vegetables before the first 4 hours of the day. A Meimor Rav Sheshis Ochel, a Meimor Rav Sheshis ate it, Mazutra Loy Ochel, Mazutra did not eat. Omrele, so Meimim Ravashi said to Mazutra, My Datach, why didn't you want to eat it? Because Domer Vitzel Koloyachel Yerik Kodim Arbishos, Osel Sabbat Menem Shem Recha, you shouldn't speak to him because the bad odor, you're eating it, and you're still speaking with us. So why aren't you eating it? I'm not worried about your bad odor. I'm worried about the other member that Yitzchak said. So it's not that I'm worried. I'm not concerned about other people who eat that vegetables at that point who speak to me. I'm only, in my opinion, the only one who adversely affects is if you eat it yourself. Kol cotton, matin, anything small impedes somebody's growth. Eating something small impedes your growth. Amar Rav Chisda, afilu gadi bar zuza. Even if you eat a goat, which is worth a zuz, but it's very small, it's not healthy. Has says the Gemara, however, v'lo yamar unless by river, it only if it didn't come to a quarter of its growth. Avalis by river, if it came to a quarter of its growth, less lambo, we're not concerned. Kol nefesh meshev nefesh, anything that has life in it revitalizes life, it's healthy. Amra papa, afil gilna de begila. Even fish, small fish that are found by the swamp, are very healthy. Kol akarev the nefesh, any meat that's near to where the body gives life, meshev is a nefesh, revitalizes life. Omer v'ach b'yakv unka means to meet by the throat. Omele rov l'shamei, k'maisel umtzu de bisro, when you're going to bring me a piece of meat, t'roich v'aislim hechdim karvali be'bar, bring me meat which is near where they make a brocha, which means neck meat, because when they shecht an animal, they make a brocha, and the shechit is done by the neck. Krov l'mozen, cabbage is good for eating, retardin, leek is good for healing. Kruv l'mozen in l'mefur loy. Ask the Gemara, is cabbage only good as a meal, but it's not good for a fuah? For Tanya, haven't we learned? Shish dvar merapna sechol mechol yoy. There are six things that make somebody healthy. Refuah, and it's going to be a constant. He's going to be really healthy. Ve'elohen, kruv, cabbage, tard, and beets, or may season, the water of season is a type of an herb, the keva, the stomach meat, the haris and the womb, the seris are covered, and diaphragm meat. Says the, so what do you tell me a kruv? Ask the Gemara, so why are you suggesting that kruv is only good for a meal? Says the Gemara, aim a kruv aflamazon. That means it's also good for a meal, but it's also good for health purposes. So he said, turnip is not good. Any, says the Gemara, if you see turnips in the marketplace, don't ask me what you're going to eat my bread today. Certainly bring me turnip. When is turnip not good? When it's not cooked with meat. But if it's cooked with meat, it's excellent. If you drink eat turnip without wine, it's an issue. But if you drink wine with it, it's fine. Itma Rav Amar b'li Basar, that turnips without meat are not good. The Shmuel Amar b'li Eitzim, if you didn't have enough wood, if you didn't cook them extensively. Rav Yochanan Amar b'li B'yayin, if you don't have wine with it. Amar le Rav Rapapa, anan tavrin le b'bisar v'chamra. We weaken the turnip by cooking it with meat and drinking wine with it. Asan the noy lof shluchamri. You who don't have wine, but my tachrisulu, how do you break it? I'm a little bit sivi because we use wood, we cook it. Like the wife of Rapapa, Boston Vashle, after she would cook the turnip, she would bring 80 large logs to really cook it very well, extensively. Turnabon Dan Kot Meliach, small fish, small salted fish, Pam Shumemis, it could kill the person that eats it. If he eats it, the shiva on the seventh day after it's salted, the shiva also the 17th day, esrim v'shiva the 27th day, v'amalei and others say esrim v'shloish on the 23rd day. Says the Gemara, when is this a problem? V'loy emar al b'matvi v'loy matvi. If it was only partially roasted, avol matvi shaper. If it was very well roasted, less lamba. It's not a problem. U'loy matvi shaper. And even if it wasn't proper, completely roasted, loyal mar ad loy shasa bashe shikr, only if you didn't drink beer after it. Avil shasa shikra, avil shasa basre shikra, if you drank beer afterward, less lamba, it's not a problem. The Mishnah said, vashay samayim tsamah, if you drink water to quench your thirst, you make a shahakal. So it seems that not always do you make a shahakal on water. Lafuki mai, when don't you make a shakal? Amar of Idi Bar Oven, Lafuki Leman, the Chankte Umtsa. If somebody was being choked by a piece of meat and he drinks water to get it down, then you don't have to make a shahakal. So the Paiskim say, what are other examples when you don't make a bracha on water? If you're taking water to wash down a pill, if you're drinking water to wash away a bit of taste, or you're just drinking water because of a diet requirement. Let's say you're drinking water because you know you're going to fast and you don't want to be dehydrated. And in all of these cases, if one is not thirsty when drinking the water, you don't make a shahakal near bidvari. However, Taisus says that this is only a din by water. But if you're drinking juice or soda that have a good taste, even though you are doing it for one of the purposes that we just said, then you should make a shahakal. Rav Tarfon Amar, Rav Tarfon says somebody drinks water, makes a bayir fashas rabs v'chasroinen. Amrle, as a bracha rishoina. Amrle, Rav Bachanel Rav Baya. V'amrle, Rav Yosef Hilchas Amai. Amrle, puk chazay ma'am, what's the halacha? So said, puk chazay ma'am adover. Let's see what everybody does. And we know that everybody makes a shahakal before they drink the water, and they make a bar in the fashas after they drink water, not like Rav Tarfon, who everybody agrees, Rav Tarfon held, that you make a bar in the fashas before you drink water. There's a machlekes what Rav Tarfon held, if you make a bar in the fashas as a bracha rishayna, what do you hold as a bracha achroina? Some say that he held you don't make a bracha achroina on water, and some say Rav Tarfon said you make a bar in the fashas for water both as a bracha rishayna, and also as a bracha achroina, but we make a shahakal and a bayir in the fashas.